At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, here we go, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. We got a very busy final hour here. We'll do a lot of the golf with the Open Championship, of course, teeing off on Thursday. Keith Stewart from Read the Line will be with me in a little bit, as we'll get his plays and dive into a couple of things with him. I'm going to start by giving some of my picks for the tournament here. I'm involved in this Fever-Dallas game, and the Fever took the lead 69-68 with a buck 20 left to go in the third quarter. I had played that Caitlin Clark 2-3s in the third quarter. That's got no shot now. She hasn't made one yet. But because I'm a glutton, Matthias, I went and did it in the fourth quarter, too. So for her to hit 2-3s in the fourth quarter, same price.
Nice.
3-3s or something.
I'm with it.
Whatever it was. So I'm involved in that now. So if she doesn't get it here, and I played Indiana money line with a couple put it with the golf things. So hopefully they come back to win and Caitlin hits a ton of threes. I mean, if she'd like to hit two in the last minute of this third quarter, that would be great, too. But I'm not going to hold out hope for that. Man, she's got two defenders on her every time she touches the basketball. There's lots of soccer going on tonight. Did you get any goals from Cincinnati yet? I know you've been tracking that.
No, it's still 0-0. I'm biting my tongue on it. Miami's up 3-0, just hurting right there because we didn't play it.
Oh, Miami went. Wow, they went up 3-0. Yeah, you said it. When we came on, you said grab Miami. Still was what? What were they, plus 115 at that time when you said that?
Yeah, they were plus 115 at that time, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should have listened to you there. I could have put that with the golf. Would have been in good shape, but unfortunately, no. Fortunately, no. That was a brick. I mean, nobody should be shooting threes on the Fever except Clark. She's the only one who should
I'm
be
in with you
threes.
On the Fever now, so let's roll.
Okay. You got yourself a price you were happy with? You finally got something that made you happy? They're down 3 now. Yeah. No, you didn't get a price you were happy with. That's okay. It happens, Matthias. It does happen. All right. Open Championship. We're going to get Keith here in a couple minutes. And, of course, they are at Royal Troon. First time that they have been at Royal Troon since 2016, which, of course, was the duel between Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson. So it's been a little while since we've been here. They've added some yardage to the course. This course, of course, it's an in and an out. As Keith was telling me on Coast to Coast earlier today, it's kind of break it up into three sections. You got the postage stamp, which is the shortest par 3 there. I believe it's 8 on the front 9. which all the players love. They love the challenge in little par three. Most guys say it's better than having those stock, like, 215-yard par threes. They like these little short par threes. They're usually the most entertaining holes, and it should be again this week. It also has the longest par five out of the Open rotation. Checking in, what is that, like 625, that one par five? So it's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure. Scheffler is the favorite, and still is. I've actually seen a few places put him in the plus 500, plus 550 range today. But you will not be getting anything from me. I'm staying away from Scotty. I'm hoping that he continues just on the same trend he's had in the Opens, somewhere between 15 and 25. That's just put him right in that area and let him stay there. I don't need him at the top because he hasn't been around the last 3 weeks, and I've done really well. So I don't really want Scheffler around ruining my weekend. And I know that probably everybody's run to the window with Scotty. I will not be this week, that's for sure. Rory, of course, will be the story. Missed by a couple of short putts at the U.S. Open a month ago at Pinehurst. And now he returns here, of course, 2 years ago at St. Andrews. Had an opportunity on the back nine and made too many pars while Cam Smith went and passed by him. Lots of close calls for Rory, and we'll see if he can finally finish the job. Is that the end of the third quarter there, Matthias, in that Indiana game? I'm sorry, did I see that?
It is. They are down two. Dallas not very happy with a late free throw. They just gave the Caitlin Clark and possession. But, they're down two right now. Indiana, I think Dallas always gives up these games. I notice most of these games, they always give it up. So let's just hope the trend continues, Carver.
Let's hope that it does indeed. Here's what I'm going with for the Open Championship. This is my card. All right, for the outrights, Colin Morikawa has been knocking on the door for the last few months. Not weeks, months. If you go and take a look at what Morikawa has done since the Masters, it is ridiculous. In fact, I want to bring it up. I had it out earlier with Keith. I'm going to bring it back up here now. Morikawa since Augusta. Where are you, Colin? There he is. Here's Colin's list. At the Masters, tied for third. RBC, ninth. Wells Fargo, tied 16th. PGA Championship, tied for fourth. Colonial, he was fourth. Jack, the Memorial, he was second. U.S. Open, tied 14th. Travelers, tied 13th. Scottish Open last week, tied for fourth. His worst finish since the Masters has been a 16th. He has been right there. He's been in the final couple groups at all these majors this year, knocking on the door. He's played great golf, and I think the payoff is going to come for him soon. So Morikawa's on our card at 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood at 25-1. I've gotten away from Tommy everywhere except here at the Open Championship and the Scottish Open. Those are the two places that I'm going to stay with Fleetwood. I don't really have confidence or trust in him anywhere else, especially stateside. But over here, I do. It's every year. It's talked about extensively, and it was again this week. This guy's absolute dream since he was a kid to win the Open Championship, the Claret Jug, etc. And I want to be on board when that actually happens. 25-1 for Fleetwood. Always seems to put up a good showing here at the Open. Next, John Rahm at 25-1. It's been a weird year for Rahm, of course, going to LIV, and he has not played well this year in the majors. Now, if you look at what he's done on LIV, he's inside the top 10 pretty much every single week. You look at the charts and graphs, he's near the top. He has not won there yet, but LIV's a little bit more competitive than some people think, all right? There actually is some guys who have played some really good golf there this year. I know that some people don't believe that. They don't like want to deal with LIV, whatever. I watch it. I bet on it. Then Rahm's played decent, and including last Sunday in Valderrama last weekend, I should say. This guy was 8-1 last year. 8-1, 9-1, 10-1 to win the Open Championship. A year later, I'm getting him at 25. And he didn't fall off a cliff as much as you think. Was he bad at the Masters? Yes, he was awful. Was he bad at the PGA Championship? He was awful. He hurt his toe, and he didn't go in the U.S. Open. I think you're going to get a big performance from Rahm this weekend. 25-1 for him. That number is absolutely insane. Tyrrell Hatton has been outstanding. 28-1 for him. Last time they were here in 2016, He finished fifth. The year of the Mickelson-Stenson duel, he finished fifth that year. So I am all in on Tyrrell Hatton. He's won on the LIV Tour as well this year. Petrun, he's been very good. So 28-1 for him. The Irish Bear, Shane Lowry at 40-1. Of course, a past Open champion. And he's played good golf this year. 40-1. He's on my card every year. And finally, Tom Kim at 60-1. Not as long as Morikawa in terms of banging on the door, but Kim has played great golf for a month and a half, 2 months. He's been in the mix, played his playoff with Scheffler at the Travelers, and he's excellent on links courses and especially at the Open. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. We'll hear what Keith Stewart likes from Read the Line. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Here with you on the grid. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out on assignment. He'll be back later this week. Clark's playing great. She's not hitting threes. I must have missed a three that she hit in the third quarter, Matias, because she did hit one as I was bellyaching that she didn't have any, but now she didn't make the second one. So now I'm on the same play. Two threes for her here in the fourth quarter. But as I was saying, she just dishes now. Like, she just had a beautiful pass to this girl in the corner,
rolling
and she buried
right
a three.
Now, baby.
They're winning now, which is a
right
good
now.
Thing.
They're rolling. Let's go.
They are. The Open Championship, of course, we've been talking about, which is teeing off really in hours at this point. Keith Stewart from Read the Line is with me every Wednesday on Coast to Coast, and it's great to have him with us on Carver and Lisi as well as we get ready for the best major of the year, and that is the Open Championship across the pond. Lynx Golf, Royal Troon is where we'll be this week, and I cannot wait for them to get going in a few hours. Keith, good to talk to you as always, my man.
Carver, it's great to be with you. After I get done with this, I'm going to bed because we start in a little over 4 hours.
I was going to say, are you going to – now, look, I would love to do it, but the kids are going to be, you know, waking me up at like basically 6:05, 6:15. So I need to get at least 4 or 5 hours before that happens. So I would love to do the 1:30 a.m. East and watch the first group go out. But I don't think I'll make it, Keith. But do you like doing it? You're in for now. If you get up at 1:30 and do the beginning, are you in for the long haul? You'll get it all in.
Well, you know what? We have 10 straight hours of tee times if you start at 1:30. Now,
yeah,
we're going to talk about this in a second. I have a reason to get up at 1:30, but more to see where they finish than where they start. I'll probably get up somewhere in the 3:30 range and get myself warmed up because Rory and the boys and everything starts really kicking around 5 a.m., and that's where we're really going to hit our mojo. Yeah, there'll be a nap in my future, though, tomorrow afternoon, no doubt.
Yeah, the heavy hitters, or as they always like to say, the featured groups, really start to kick between 4:30 and 5 o'clock East. Like, that's when you start to get, like, look, I mean, we all love Justin Leonard, Todd Hamilton, and Jack McDonald, but, you know, 1:30 a.m. For those guys, it's tough. It's definitely not easy. But once you start to get to Finau at 4:30 and Rahm and Fleetwood, that's where you want to be. I want to talk about a guy that we didn't, believe it or not, I don't think we said his name once when you were with me on Coast to Coast earlier today. And that, of course, is, I mean, he's only the favorite, and that's Scottie Scheffler, who's plus 450. I've seen him actually in some places at plus 550, believe it or not. I'm obviously staying away from him, Keith. I know that you are, too. I think people want to try to find ways to justify it, whether it's, oh, well, he's on a break. He's been on a long break. Oh, yeah, well, he was on a long break between RBC and the PGA Championship, and if he didn't get thrown in the back of a cop car, he probably would have won there, too, at Valhalla. You know, he's been an absolute machine. I mean, the only blemish, really, since the Arnold Palmer was the 41 at the U.S. Open. I mean, other than that, everything is 1-1-2-8-2-1-1. Can we stop him this week, Keith? Can we get him? Can he stay in that 15-25 range, which is where he's lived at this thing the last 3 years?
Car, Carver, you know we rule on Golf Wednesdays. And you know that I faded him going into Pinehurst. And the reason being was that because when I was down there, I told you that the golf course was super crispy and everyone was going to have to play to the same place on those greens, and it was going to turn into a chipping and putting contest. Now, chipping, Scotty can do. Putting, he is definitely not number one player in the world. And I feel like we're in the same exact situation here. Between the wind, the elements, and the effects of this rough, everyone is going to be playing to the same spots in the fairways, and these meaning the contenders, the good players, and they're going to be playing to the same spots on these greens. And Scotty's going to be forced at slow speeds on these greens to make putts on greens where you can make putts because they're somewhat flat. This is a seaside links. You can't have this thing be like Augusta National or like Quail Hollow. You can't have that type of swales and slopes and shelves and everything, right? The wind is too strong there all the time. And even if it's not that strong this week, the greens are flat. And good putters will make putts. And that's the problem for Scotty. Scotty is not a great putter. He is a great player. And he is superhuman at other things. But when this thing turns into making putts on slow seaside link style greens, that's where Scotty is going to get outdistanced. Is he still a top 10 guaranteed? Absolutely. But when it comes to winning and then throwing out a 5.5-1 against a guy in a field like this, I just can't do it. And that's the reason why.
I'm with you. I just can't do it either. I can't bring myself to it. Now, look, if he slips a little bit, he's had a couple of these where he stormed back on Saturday and Sunday. You know, if you find him, Keith, and now listen, it's almost impossible he gets there anymore. He could be in like 40th place and they're still giving you 9-1. But if he slipped under 10 and there were still a lot of holes left, you'd consider it, right?
If he doubles his number, I will hit it automatic. I mean, that's just a click of the mouse. It is instant.
Okay.
Anytime he doubles his number, and he's not, you know, doing what he was doing, barely making the cut at Pinehurst. If he's still anywhere, I mean, look what he did at the Players, right? He was on Saturday night. I wrote an article for Golf Digest, and I was picking Wyndham to win. And Scotty was almost triple the number he started the week at going into the Players, and no one had ever repeated there before. He shoots 64 on Sunday and takes the title. So it's definitely worth our value if you can get up to that number. If you can't, then you hold on with what you have, or you find some, you know, you find another date at the dance, and then you go and you hope that your song gets played, because it's too risky on a putting contest to go after it with Scheffler.
It certainly is. When we come back, I want you to give everybody here on Carver and Lisi your picks for it. And I got a couple of other guys I want to ask you about. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We'll come back. Keith Stewart, read the line right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Keith Stewart's with us from Read the Line as we get ready for the Open Championship, of course, at Royal Troon. Keith, I wanted to talk to you about the kid because you've been on him a lot. We've both been on him a little bit, Ludwig Hebert. Do you he had, of course, played great for three rounds again last week. What is it about Sundays with him? Because it kind of starting to feel like, you know, especially I'd say since the Masters, that there's something about him on Sundays, and he's still super young and he's still going to be so good, but maybe he just hasn't gotten that closing gear yet on Sundays. What do you think?
You know, Carver, my background as a professional, the first thing I'll tell you is that golf is hard. And what most people forget prior to the Ryder Cup is that when he first came out, they're like, John Deere, he had bad Saturday, right? Like, he was having bad Saturdays last summer. He won in the DP World Tour. Everyone says, oh, everything's fixed. He goes to the Ryder Cup, plays with Victor. They win. Everything's fixed. He shoots 61-61 in the weekend at RSM. Everything's fixed. Golf, it's just, I mean, the greatest record that Tiger ever created was the 142 cuts in a row. And when you listen to the guys that are elite players right now in the press room, where I'm always out there at these sites, They're always talking about Scotty's consistency. They don't talk about the fact that he just wins. It's the fact that every single week he's in the top five. That is elite status. It is very difficult to do this. Do I think Ludwig Aubert is somebody that can do that eventually? Yes, but he's figuring out that golf is really hard, and it's hard to play like that every single week for four straight rounds. Led the U.S. Open after 36 holes and didn't finish it off, right? Last week at the Scottish Open, he was leading going into the weekend, leading into the final, doesn't finish it off. I mean, it's just very, very difficult to do. I mean, look how good somebody like Xander Schauffele is with all those top tens, and he's only won one time this year. Granted, it was a major, but still, right? Like, it's almost historic to finish things off at the level with which Ludwig has been in contention. That being said, I love his attitude towards it. Like he said this week in the press room, it's like brushing my teeth. I work on it every day, and we'll see how it goes. Do I think he could pull off a major championship this time in his first try at the Open? Hey, Colin Morikawa did it in 2021, so I wouldn't put it past Ludwig, but I'd be a little worried about it on Sunday, and I think he will grow into this as he matures as a touring professional.
Bryson has had an unbelievable year at majors. Of course, the win at the U.S. Open, the second with Xander at the PGA Championship. He played well at the Masters, too. But is his game maybe least suited for a week like this at Lynx Golf at Royal Troon?
In past years, I would have said no. But after the way that he handled Augusta National this year and finished T6, a place that definitely was, it's such a cerebral golf course, and which is why guys like Scotty and Tiger and Jack have always had so much success there. He looks like he's a transition man in so many different ways. We root for him now. I think he's really, really comfortable in his own skin, and as such, he doesn't try to overdo it. And in doing that, I think that, and when he proved that at Augusta, and he proved that at Valhalla, and he certainly proved it at Pinehurst, which is definitely a place that you needed a game plan like Augusta National, I don't worry as much about that part of his game here. I don't feel like he has a need in order to hit driver everywhere. Now, that being said, he needs to hit driver better than he did at Pinehurst, which is why I'm picking other guys over him like Rory and Colin, and I'm betting them versus Bryson. But Bryson's going to be a big part of this discussion. He's way too talented not to be, and length and power is such an advantage whether you're using a driving iron off the tee or you're using the driver. And let's just face it, he is deadly with that putter. And that's one of the things that no one ever talks about with Bryson, but you and I do all the time on Golf Wednesdays, and it's definitely going to keep him in the mix this week. There's no doubt about it.
Keith, you told me earlier I'll stay as long as you want, so you're going to have to come back for five more minutes. I'm sorry. I hate to do that to you because I know you're going to go to sleep for a few hours, but I'm going to give you five. You're going to come back and do five more minutes, and you're going to give all the great Carver and Lisi listeners the card, the entire card, and I hope Keith's going to be all right with that. I know he's going to be all right with that. We got 5 minutes left with Keith. I know he can do it. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Keith Stewart's with us from Read the Line. We got the Open Championship teeing off in hours at Royal Troon. All right, Keith, lay it out for everybody. Give the great Carver and Lisi listeners the outrights.
Okay, we're going to go with Rory off the bat, plus 800. I bet him. And here's the thing. I know he's got, what, 9 top 10s in his last 13 majors. So, Keith, can he close? Here's the thing. There's no drama for Rory at Royal Troon. He goes to Oak Hill. That's where he met his wife. He goes to the Masters. It's a complete mess. He goes to Valhalla. That's where he's won a major. This place is a clean slate. 2016, he was a top 5. This time he's going to win. If not, it's going to be Colin Morikawa, plus 1,800. 5 top 5s in his last 10 starts. And he's doing that. The consistency is built from short game and putting, which is what you're going to need this week at Royal Troon. Next guy, the Iceman, Patrick Cantlay, plus 4,500. All right. I did a deep dive on Wynn Golf. The wind has been wild this week. It's not the prevailing wind. It's moving all around on these guys. After Scottie Scheffler, with a lot of links experience, Patrick Cantlay is the best player in the wind, second to only Scheffler. And the last one, can Finau finish one off? At 50-1, I sure hope he can. This guy has a great open record. 7 starts, 6 top 30s. With that flat trajectory that he hits it and all the ball speed and underrated short game, I love Finau's chances on those slow greens to continue with a positive putter. What do you have next for me?
What do you got? First of all, with Cantlay, he hasn't played since the Travelers, right? So he played well at the U.S. Open, played well at the Travelers, and he was supposed to play the Tractor Tournament, right? And then he backed out of that. What was bothering him that week that he didn't play?
I talked to his coach, Jamie Mulligan. Carver, we're all good. I asked him one question. I said, Jamie, he's a very good friend of mine. I said, is Patrick healthy? Because I can't put him in a bad spot. Right? That's not what we do. I just asked him, yeah. I said, Jamie, is Patrick healthy? He said, Patrick feels perfect. That's all I needed. That's the text I got back.
Beautiful.
Ready to roll. Ready to roll.
Good. Good to go. What do you got for the placements?
Placements will go top 10. I'm going to go Bryson. Second best player in the world. He's proved it all year. One of only two guys that can earn 4 top 10s this year in the majors, Xander being the other one. Top 20, I'm going to go Fairway Jesus. That's Fleetwood at plus 110. Even money, most people picking him to win. I'm taking him for a top 20. Aaron Rye, 2 gloves. Weather goes bad, the guy's already prepared. Not only that, he's gaining over 9 strokes on the field total in his last 5 starts. And then I've got Adam Scott. Incredible open record, another plus 230 for a top 20. Now, top 40s, you know I love these, and I hit them all the time. Captain Keegan at plus 180 last time we came to Troon, tied for 18th. Ben Griffin, plus 240. He's been playing great since the Canadian, and, of course, he keeps it going. But he does it with short game and putting, and that's how you hang around these open championships. And the last one, Matteo Matosero. Right over from Italy, plus 240, top 40. This kid, he won back in March, and since then, we're talking 3 top 10s, 6 top 25s, tied 15th at the Scottish Open. That's my placement card. What's next?
Tell me about how, and by the way, I'm crazy enough that I think I'm going to parlay those 3 top 40s together, and it's like 24 or 25 to 1, somewhere around there. So I might do that. That's me personally on myself. I'm going to take Griffin, Manicero, and Bradley all together. Give me the head-to-heads, because as you love to do, you're going after guys who are not playing very well.
Well, you know, last week we hit all the top 40s. Out at the Scottish Open.
Yes.
So that's a smart play, that parlay. I'm not a parlay guy, but if you're going to do it, it's a smart play. Now, we're going after the weak ones this week, of course. Always again in the head-to-heads. I've got Brian Harman, defending champion, over Jordan Spieth, minus 110. I mean, it explains itself. Spieth probably won't make the weekend like he didn't last week at the Renaissance Club. Then I've got Wyndham Clark, whoever what he loves, right? Drives the ball, puts the ball, going to fit Troon over Max Homa. Max Homa looks really confused. It's a minus 138. I'm going to lay a little money, but you know what? We're going to win both of those. Now, I've got one more for you, Carver, because I'll never let you down. All right? In 4 hours, they are going to let Jack McDonald tee off first. And why? Because he lives 5 minutes away from Royal Troon. He qualified for this championship. He's playing with Justin Leonard and Todd Hamilton. That 3-ball, Jack McDonald is favored at minus 120 against Todd Hamilton, who doesn't play golf, and Justin Leonard, who's almost twice his age. You got to take Jack McDonald in that 3-ball, minus 120.
Wow.
I leave you with that. And I'll see you all at 4 a.m. Let's go.
Keith, tremendous job. I'm putting it in right now. Jack McDonald, 1:35 a.m. East against Leonard and Hamilton. Keith, get a little bit of rest and get ready for the Open Championship. Keith Stewart from Read the Line. Thank you, Keith.
Take care, Mike. Is. Enjoy my favorite champions.
Keith Stewart with us right there from Read the Line as we get ready. I can't wait either. I'd love to get up at 1:35 and watch that, but I'm not going to. This Indiana-Dallas game has gotten pretty wild. 99-93. Caitlin Clark had a chance. They were down 2 or 3 with the ball, and she missed a 3, and then she turned the ball over. She did set a WNBA record. Not a rookie record. The WNBA record, period. 19 assists. She has tonight, but it might come in a loss here, unfortunately. And of course, everything that me and Matias jumped on isn't looking very good right now. We had Indiana live. We had, of course,
Clark for two threes in the third. She only got one. Clark for two threes in the fourth. She has one. How about Matias, a garbage time three down six or seven here from Clark before it goes? She's got a chuck here with 30 seconds left. How about a garbage time three to get us something here in this Indiana game? This is going to bother me because I would have never in my life played this game, Matias. Ever! Ever! And now I'm playing it because there's nothing else on. 24.3 seconds. Indiana's got the rock. Just chuck up a three, Caitlin. Chuck up a three and hit it. Extend, extend, extend the game. Maybe they'll miss a couple free throws. Let's go here. Look at this, the big inbound play. How do you not get it? There it is. Get her off the screen. Oh, that girl's open in the corner. She shoots it. What are you doing? How does Clark not take the last shot? Well, they fouled Dallas right away, so maybe they're going to get one more crack. She'll get one more crack and an excuse me three, hopefully. That's disappointing. Well, thankfully, we didn't go crazy with that. But I'm sure all Matias' soccer plays did come in. What happened with the soccer? Where is it? I'm going to get my scores. Let's see how Matias did with the soccer. Wow, and NYCFC came back 2-2. Miami won 3-1. Good hit for him. Oh, Cincinnati lost? 1-0 to Chicago?
Spitting blood. Spitting blood.
Oh, Matias.
I'm in shambles right now. The Miami 3-1 is just, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
I'm sorry. Can I get a garbage time three from Caitlin Clark here with 17 seconds left?
No.
What are we calling timeout for? Is she serious? Calling timeout down eight with 17 seconds left and she's grabbing the whiteboard like she's going to draw up a play? Oh, God. What are we doing here? There's seven. You're down eight. Well, nothing like setting an WNBA record in a loss, I guess, is what she's going to do here. And you know what the funny part is? They'll probably talk more about the turnovers that she had at the end of the game as opposed to the fact that she had 19 dimes. And she's got, what, she got 24, 25 points to go with it? Good night, but lots of costly turnovers down the stretch. A couple of them, and some bad shots by her teammates. That's for sure. 24 and 19 she's got. So Boston at 28. Let's see if we can get the garbage time three before we get out of here from them. Great job by Keith, by the way, as he is. I always like when we're reading the same mail. We're both on Morikawa, which is good to see. Of course, I got a few other guys. I did not give the first-round leader bombs. We'll do that when we come back. And anything else that I have for the Open Championship, which I can't wait to get going with that. I did not know about that. I'm going to put that guy, this guy McDonald, in now as well. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. All right, a couple of things here. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. He'll be back later this week. Hipper Bell's in the mix as well. Now, a few things. Number one, the Fever lost that game, which is unfortunate for us. Clark didn't hit the second three, which is unfortunate for us. She had 19 assists, which is the WNBA record. Can you believe that the coach there calls a timeout with 8 seconds left, or what was it, 12 seconds left? They were down eight or something like that. 17 seconds left, down eight. To draw some play up. Like, you're down eight. There's nothing to draw up. Inbound the ball and fire a three and hope you win it. That's the play. Instead, Matias, I don't know if you watch this. They're in this play where, like, Boston's at the top. They give her the ball. She's waiting for Clark to cut over. Then Clark passes it like she was looking for the 20th assist. It was like, I mean, thank God I don't watch this stuff every night. Like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm with you. I'm going to have a headache later tonight. I told you, I didn't know why I got involved with the Fever game. And then I got in. I'm just sad. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. But
no, I already know what you're going to tell me because I'm watching. He's got 4 points already. Okay, he hit his first two shots. 4 points. This is the night. he's going to bust out. And I wanted to play him for 10, and New York doesn't have Summer League. So that'll be the one that does come in. You see, that's how it all – that's sometimes how – now, listen, as Joe would say – it's hard for me to complain with the run that I've had the last couple of weeks, with the loaves under my arm and all that. I know what Joe would be saying right now if he was here. So it's hard for me to complain. But that's how tonight will go, and I hope that that's not how it trends into the Open Championship. I'm going to hit all the ones that got – lose all the ones that got in, which is all the dopey fever bets. And this Bronny James 10 points that I wanted to play is gonna hit in a route. Gonna have no problem whatsoever. He's plus 135 for 12 points right now. For 12. He was plus 320 for 10 when I wanted to play him. So he'll have some big night. Big bounce back night here. Less people at the game, too. I feel like all these Bronny games usually have been packed.
I'm glad you didn't listen to me. Dalton Kennett isn't even playing today, Carver. I told you to play Kennett over Bronny James. Kennett's on the bench. I don't think he's going to get any minutes today.
Yeah, they might be giving him a break. Are they playing? They might be playing tomorrow too.
So these what they need to see. You know, do they really need to see him out there anymore? In my opinion, they don't.
Yeah, they you see the reason is also, Matias, is that all these teams in the summer league, I think they get one set of back to backs because they got to play four games in a week, and the Lakers play tomorrow against the Cavs. So my guess is Bronny's playing tonight, Kinect's out, and Kinect will play tomorrow, and Bronny will be out. That would be my guess. They're not going to play Bronny both nights. They should. He needs to work. But my guess is that that – because they didn't play him in that middle game in the California Classic either. So I would guess, Matias, that that's going to be the deal. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 7 games tomorrow in the Summer League. And then Friday's like the last day. And Saturday and Sunday are –
say you're the GM. Play him? Like, do you want to play him anymore? I feel like you saw what you needed to see – you know, with a couple games of Kinect. You know exactly who he is, how he's going to fit in with the team, where he's going to be scoring. You know, he's owning his position in the summer league right now. I just don't see the need for it. Yeah, you know, I'm of the school of like, okay, we know what we have. Let's get you ready for the upcoming season because we know you're going to get minutes coming off of the bench. We know what your role is going to be. You know, I just don't see the value of throwing him out there with a bunch of guys fighting their ass off to make a roster spot. You know, that's where injuries happen. That's where things that you don't want to see happen. If I'm the Lakers, it's like, I'll just sit Kinect out. It's like, we know what we have with this guy. That's why you drafted him.
That's precisely it. That's why you drafted him, for that reason. That's for sure.
How he drops to the Lakers is beyond my is beyond my understanding. I don't know how a guy like that, SEC Player of the Year, could drop all the way to the Lakers. I said it in the draft, and now in the summer league, you just see it. You know what I mean? He's a level above most people.
He is a level above most people. I have not gotten to spend much time on this on the SEC stuff today, and I apologize to Joe for that, even though Joe's not here. So he's going to have to deal with it. Kalen DeBoer had his first SEC media day as Alabama head coach. He obviously has some fairly large shoes to fill. It's got to also be hard if you're Kalen DeBoer that you're at your first SEC media day, you're the Alabama head coach, and basically you have to look across the room and there's Nick staring at you the whole time doing TV. You know, that can't be fun. And all the players go in, they're going up to Nick, they're giving him big hugs, and they're just... And then Nick picked... Yeah, I like what Nick did, too. Nick picked Georgia and Texas to play in the SEC title game. That's like Nick basically doing his own motivation, even though he's not the coach anymore, sitting there up on the broadcast table. I'm there at ESPN. But I thought DeBoer, you know, he's such a different personality than Nick. Like, it's going to be so weird, and I don't know how it's going to translate. It's hard to say he's not going to be – listen, he's not going to be Nick Saban. I can tell you that. But I also can't sit here and say immediately he's going to be a hack because he has won everywhere he's been. And Alabama's a big difference. But just listening today, I was just kind of like, yeah, Alabama football just got really boring. It just got really boring with Nick being gone. Today was the first day that it really hit me. Like, this guy's the new coach. He gave you nothing. And listen, he coached in places that you can give nothing. See, you can give nothing at Washington. You can give nothing at all these other stops this guy had. Alabama, SEC, bright lights. It's just being just... boring as hell. Just doesn't play for me.
Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid before we get out of here. I also saw Sark. I like Sark a lot. I know Joe. I don't think Joe likes Sark at all. As me and him go back and forth with that a lot. But Sark had the awesome orange jacket on at the SEC Media Day. So he's got a lot of his squad back. They're going to be good. It's just, I think it's going to be a little bit biting off more than they can chew the first year in that conference. You know, just a little bit more. He was praising Nick the whole time, too. These guys, they all did this, though. Now that Nick's sitting up there as a commentator, they all praise Nick all day. But Sarkisian had a ton of nice things to say about him, too. But Texas' schedule is really tough. It's just like I said with Georgia the other day with Joe. If they get there, they will absolutely earn it. When you think about what they have to do, and not even just in conference, but playing Michigan out of conference, going to the Big House, you know, they'll beat Colorado State, UTSA, and ULM. That Michigan is their key non-conference. And in conference, you know, they have to play, obviously, Oklahoma. That's the Red River rivalry in Dallas. They have Georgia at home. And they have the huge renewed rivalry at Texas A&M. To be fair, though, actually, looking at this, and listen, this is still a tough schedule because they have a much harder non-conference road game than just about anybody in the SEC with the Michigan trip. But outside of Oklahoma, Georgia, and Texas A&M, it's manageable. You know, Mississippi State at home, at Vandy, Florida at home, at Arkansas, and I know that that's now also a massive rivalry that's been renewed. And the people in Arkansas will go nuts for that, but they should beat them. Kentucky at home, like, they really got three big challenges in the SEC this year. And that's Oklahoma, Georgia, and at Texas A&M. So, it's not out of the question for them. They'll absolutely be in the conversation. I think Georgia's schedule is, in conference, is light years tougher. I mean, they go to Alabama, and they go to Texas. That's hard. That's real hard. Where's the Georgia one more time? I'll bring it up for you. They are at Kentucky, at Alabama, home Auburn, home Mississippi State, at Texas. They play Florida in the cocktail party in Jacksonville, at Ole Miss, Tennessee. So they're at Alabama. They're at Texas. They're at Ole Miss. And they have also, just like Texas, they have a very reputable non-conference game by playing Clemson. So, you know, a big boy non-conference game. When you play a big boy, not like what Missouri's doing. You know, Missouri is now, you know, they're hoping for another 10-plus win season. But they don't play, you know, they basically are getting four wins out of conference. They're playing nobody out of conference. Georgia's playing Clemson. Texas playing Michigan. You know, when you play big boy out of conference games, you get a little bit more juice from me. I know that. So, I like to see that. I like at least one. There's only so many times we could play Tennessee Tech. UMass. You know, there's just so many times we could do that. If you can supplement the games like that with a game against a really big heavy like Clemson, that's a little bit of respect that you get there. But, man, that Georgia schedule is tough. They will finish off the SEC Media Days on Thursday with the last couple guys to go. I guess everybody who's hitting cleanup coming in last. We'll see how it goes for them. I guess there's only a few. I'm trying to think of who hasn't gone yet. They've kind of put all the heavy hitters out, right? On Monday, Tuesday.
and Wednesday. They've gotten like all the heavy hitter guys in there so far. So only a few slots left. I guess Hugh Freeze probably and a couple of others. Great job by Keith Stewart tonight with the Open. Great job by Matthias Berbel, as always. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets. We'll see you on the grid.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.